Moving on to the recommendations, are we all happy to agree the document?
Agree.
Yep, all agree, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, and then if we move on to the corporate plan 2020 to 2024.
Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Pleased to be at my first scrutiny commission meeting.
Welcome.
Introducing the corporate plan. I'm just going to say a few words, and then I'm going to hand over to Helen, who's been working with her team and across the council to bring together the corporate plan. I think the first thing to say is that the corporate plan is a high-level document. It obviously expresses a number of public-facing ambitions and priority areas and some themes underneath those, and also a number of internal facing ambitions and objectives as well. One of the things that I want to just mention is that as we develop the corporate plan, we're doing so in parallel to developing the council business plan, which is where a lot of the detail about how we're going to deliver against the corporate plan will be held. And there are a number of other developments linked to that, such as the creation of a number of boards to deliver on things like commercialisation, for example, will be established. So this is, I think, to be understood as the high-level picture for the council going forward over the next 4 years, but there is obviously a requirement for amount of detail underneath that. So I'm going to pause there and hand over to Helen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. The organisation has a current corporate plan which runs to 2020. So over the past few months we've been developing the next four-year plan. In undertaking that development, we held a resident survey back towards the autumn time last year. So we've used the results on the resident survey, so that's a process that we have used previously. So we've used the results of the resident survey. We've obviously looked at the current administration's manifesto in terms of developing the corporate plan, and we've done some internal workshops with the senior leadership team and the corporate leadership team. The draft version of the corporate plan has been on the council's website for external consultation for a period of time prior to the Christmas period, and any comments that we've had back from residents we've fed into that process. As you will see from the appendix, appendix one, what we've now developed and what we're intending to present to Cabinet on Thursday is a draft plan which we envisage will be over a four-page document. So it incorporates an introduction from the leader. We have also done some internal work looking at a vision for Charnwood as a borough, and that's also included in there. So you may recall that we had a vision for the borough that we set back in 2011, we've refreshed that, and it's a more abridged version. You'd probably also be familiar with the fact that internally the council has a set of values for which employees behave against, and we have done some work to slightly refresh those, and they're included in there as well. The main element of the corporate plan is under four themes. So we've got caring for the environment, healthy communities, a thriving economy and your council. And then we've identified a set of statements that fit within those themes. And as Rob says, those themes and those objectives will follow through into the business plan and equally down into the personal review processes to maintain that performance management framework. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Councillor Walter.
Lots of questions. I was wondering to what extent this corporate plan links in any way to that of Leicestershire County Council. And the reason I'm asking the question is, I like the format, I like the four themes, but if we look at healthy communities, for example, one thing that I'm constantly getting from my residents is we need more doctors. You know, we need more medical centres. And they're absolutely spot on, because trying to get a doctor's appointment is really very, very difficult. So to what extent does that link in with the healthy communities and with the county council?
Through your chair. So it's probably broader than just the county council, I think. This document needs to, and the council needs to, engage with a whole range of partner agencies, public and private, to help deliver across the range of the themes. The council is relatively well connected, I think, in my time here. We have some good, strong partnerships. Strong partnerships, particularly in community safety. I think there is perhaps some more work we can do with health and education to build up some of those partnerships. So the example you're giving, I think we need to work very closely with clinical commissioning groups as well as the county council. In terms of the degree to which this was written sort of jointly with the county council, it isn't. It's written for us, by us, in consultation with our partners. But I do see it very much as a document that will connect us to our partners through shared ambitions and shared objectives for the benefit of our residents.
Thank you. Councillor
Draycott. Yes, thank you, Chair. A few things, if I may. First of all, on Part B, there is a few typos in the document that you may want to check out. My first main point is the involvement by members in the document. For example, on page 18, on page 16, it talks about in paragraph 4, in compiling the document, senior management team, cabinet, residents and staff have been considered. There's about 40 other councillors. They don't appear to have been involved. Yet when you look on page 18, second paragraph down, it's saying priorities and aims have been shaped by members. Presumably that must be cabinet.
Predominantly, yes.
My point is that there's 40 other members, and maybe there should have been a way that they could have been involved a little bit more. My second point, it was it stood out quite a lot in the survey with the document, and that is the results of the comments and that in the Hastings ward, which has most of the lowest percentage ratings, which is not surprising in view of the problems there. 46% child poverty. It was the highest level of crime and antisocial behaviour in Leicestershire before Operation Lionheart. There's some work being done. I'm concerned that what we've got now at the moment isn't sustainable, and how's that going to work out? And I can't get any answers to those questions as one of the councillors from the Hastings ward. So I looked at the aims, the themes and the aims and what have you. It all sounds very good. Caring for the environment, healthy communities, thriving economy, your council. But don't actually see, if you took any of the residents from Hastings ward, they would not see themselves in there at all. I appreciate we've got the business plan that is going to come along, but in the past, that has usually been like, we'll deliver X number of bathrooms, kitchens, what have you. I would like to see something more about people, because generally the ratings have come down. That doesn't seem to be reflected in the report. It still makes it sound like everything's glowing and shining in Charnwood, but there's serious financial issues with the council. There's people out there in poverty, food banks and what have you. I just think a bit more realistic, and I wait to see the business plan, particularly about how it's going to actually help Hastings ward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Parsons?
In a funny kind of way, but from a slightly different angle, I'm going to make a similar point to Councillor Draycott, but not quite the same. When I've read it a number of times, The simple bit I want to say is, I haven't been on the flat management courts either in the last 3 months. I wanted the people bit just in there a little bit. I missed people, and to me it's just that I have no issue with the plan. It's a tiny bit of wordsmithing for me about the people bit. I read the stuff. If I go head, hand, heart, my head's there, my hands are there, but I wanted a bit of heart in it, of the vision. I was looking for the word pride, interesting word, and I would back the word to be proud of where I live, to be proud of my community. The things were good, and they're all really, you know, strong, vibrant. I get those things, prosperous. But they're, to me, they're head and hand things. And I wanted in the vision, even at this very high level, I wanted something that just was the people in the middle. And it, to me, it's not the issue, it's not the subject areas. It's a tiny bit of wordsmithing to me about something that says, the core plan to help the people of Charnwood to be proud of the place they live, and to, whatever that might be. That was the only bit that rang out to me, and I read, sort of went through two or three times, and it was a statement of intent. I kind of get that, and I got the head and hand bits, and I wanted a bit of feeling in it, and it's literally works with me. I'm not trying to be soft, but it works with people. It brings people to the table. Someone, as Councillor Dracos pointed out, if you're living in particular circumstances, you might not grab any of this, and yet it's important stuff that might not seem to you because of the circumstances, but the bit of heart bit will get everybody. And I just lost that. It's a sentence. It's two words changed in a sentence, if that makes sense to you. I hope I'm articulating myself sensibly, yeah, while I'm trying to grab at, and you get what I'm trying to say. But that was the only bit that was missing for me in presenting this very high-level piece.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
So to pick up on a couple of those points, I think it's important to reflect on the fact that this is the corporate plan for the whole council, so I take on board Councillor Dracos' comments in particular about member engagement and wider member engagement, so I'll reflect on how we might achieve that perhaps in other areas around the business plan production or how we take this forward. In regards to sort of Hastings and those figures, that you can see that in the report, and I think we need to be clear as a council about how we focus resource and attention into those areas that are suffering from the greatest gap in terms of opportunity or social deprivation or economic achievement. So that is going to be something that we need to consider as part of the business plan and service delivery. It might not always need to be a feature of a business plan, but we need to be conscious about how we focus on certain key areas and certain key cohorts of people as part of our service delivery, and that's something we've talked about separately. Picking up on the sort of the people bit, I think there's possibly still some opportunity for a bit of wordsmithing, particularly if it's only a word or two, so we can have a go at that. I am keen, I don't suppose very many members of the public are going to go out and read our corporate plan, to be honest, but I think for those that do take the trouble to pick it up and read it, we do want it to have some sense of resonance and meaning and to be ambitious and engaging for them. So I think if we can do some wordsmithing to give it the best chance of doing that, then that's something we should do. So we can take that on board. There is a few nods, as you say, to sort of vision and pride, and certainly in the values bit there's a reference to pride, and I'm keen that we as members, employees of the council are proud of what we do and of our borough, and also that as far as possible we can take people forward, and that hopefully in due course people in all wards, Hastings included, may feel a greater sense of pride and ownership and belonging in their ward and Charnwood. So I think that is something that we want to see, you know, as a holistic thing, not just for the employees or the members, but for the public more generally. I'm just going to get some water from my chair. That would be done, by the way, on that point.
All right, lovely, thank you. Sorry. Any other questions,
Mr. Baines? I think it's got most of more or less everything in here, so it's pretty comprehensive. But I wondered whether it should be a bit more. I'm used to seeing in a corporate plan strategic priorities, and I wonder whether the themes are right. There's no doubt about that. The four themes are very appropriate. I think your council might be better. You might be better talking about. Or we might be better talking about the efficiency and effectiveness of your council rather than just your council. But I wonder whether these could be organised into strategic priorities so that it's clearer what we're actually trying to do. And the other thing I would say is we seem to be missing a vision, a mission. Maybe that's on purpose, I don't know. But normally we'd see a mission, a vision and values. Those are my comments really.
I think in terms of that first point, the the statements under each of the themes in the business plan, they are what we've expanded into be what I think you're describing in terms of those objectives. So under that caring for the environment theme, there'll be a section around climate change, or a statement around climate change, and then there'll be some actions and then and deliverables. So I think when you see the business plan, you might, or hopefully you'll be able to see where you can see those strategic objectives a little bit clearer.
Perhaps, but it's often the case that that's put into the strategic, the corporate plan, so that you can see right at the start where the priorities are, right? And then it's up to your next level of management to take that and create business plans around it. It's just a thought, but my sense is, because, I mean, the poor point of all this, this is something I teach a lot, is what's the purpose of this thing? And the purpose, of course, is to align everybody inside the organisation and tell your stakeholders what you're up to. And I just think that if you're if there's more detail in it and it's smarter, that right from the start, then I think it will achieve. It's more likely to achieve that.
I think the approach here and previously in the previous corporate plan was to take a summary version, so missing out some of that detail you've just described, and making it hopefully more digestible to the public. So that's kind of why the format's been arrived at, and that's why we have this business plan process as well as the corporate plan process. I think if it was just for us internally, then I'd probably go straight down the road that you've just described and say, okay, let's have it set out with priority, objective, action, and be a lot more, I suppose, business-like. This is a document that is to express our corporate ambition and objectives, but is not setting out the detail of exactly what we're going to do, and that's where the business plan comes in. So I think it will make more sense when you see the two things together. So hopefully we can take on board that feedback as part of development of the business plan.
Just to come back, I think it'd be interesting to see whether this is what the public think about this then, if this is larger, our residents, if this is largely aimed at them. So, because that would be of interest, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, and certainly internally, when we use this as a tool to manage performance throughout the forthcoming 4 years, we will be very much looking at those objectives and the measurable aspects of that, and that will be picked up through each of the individual scrutiny committees. Yeah.
The other thing, if I may just make a comment on, is that corporate plans and business plans by themselves are fine, and you need them to marshal your resources and get everyone signed up to a sort of direction of travel. But we also need to make sure that we have the right culture, the right ethos, the right resourcing. So it does dovetail obviously with the MTFS, and we're looking at the MTFS and delivery of the medium-term financial strategy as part of the business plan and setup, and obviously links also to our workforce development and training and development of employees as well. So we need to make sure that we're looking at a suite of documents, if you like, which collectively evidence how we're going to drive the organisation forward and how we're going to impact on the community over the next 4 years.
Okay, I've just got a couple of questions. So one is, when this is all completed and approved, how is it communicated to the public?
Good question, I'm going to leave that one to you.
Yeah.
So in terms of communicating it to the public, we will be using Childhood News as a vehicle for doing it. There's an edition that comes out in March, so we'll be able to include certainly information around each of the themes. We'll be using usual channels as now, so social media. Not quite sure about a press release as yet, potentially whether the press would pick that up, but and certainly it will be available, the whole document will be available on our website, and we can signpost members of the public to that. Internally, we'll be doing quite a bit of work with staff to let them know this is their corporate plan for the next 4 years, and hopefully where they can see themselves in the delivery element of that.
I've got one more and then I'll come to you. Sorry. That's okay. So then just under the thriving economy, so I understand how we've got to the four themes that we've got being the top sort of area priorities, But number four on the area of priorities is a variety of shops and markets is what people are saying that they want in their local area. Now I know that we sort of allude to it within the thriving economy, so where it's got, and while high streets are facing enormous challenges, we will help them become more diverse places, filled with home services and facilities, as well as successful retail businesses. I just want to be sure that we are, that isn't just applicable to Loughborough, that we're actually looking at all of Charnwood with regard to that, and not just Loughborough Town Centre, and just making sure that that feels like that has been a priority before, and some of the smaller areas surrounding haven't been given the same support. I think it needs to be, given that it's the public's fourth priority, I think we need to be really taking that on board and making sure we prioritise it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's perhaps a little bit inevitable with the town deal coming up that there will be a certain amount of focus on Loughborough in order to deliver that, and it obviously has a significant advantage in that that money is associated with Loughborough. Having said that, that probably makes it even more important that we're mindful of the other areas of the borough as well, that we don't forget about them whilst we deliver on that particular agenda.
We need to be careful we don't funnel so much money into Loughborough that nobody wants to go to their local village centre, because we made Loughborough amazing, and actually that's actually taking people away rather than feeding them into their own local area.
I think that's a good point. I think the reverse is also true, that we need to make sure we have a balance between the different hierarchies, and that there is appropriate usages and economics within each of those different types of centres. So yeah, we need to see the wider picture around how the different centres interact with each other. Some of that's contained in the local plan, and other parts of it contained in the way in which we deliver our regeneration and growth objectives as well. But yeah, I understand and recognise the point.
Yeah, thank you.
Both in the corporate plan here and in the business plan that we keep referring to, we are very conscious of not necessarily being overly Loughborough-centric, so making sure that there's that balance. So when we talk about markets, we're talking about Loughborough Market, but we're talking about Shepshed Market and other markets that feature across the borough.
Okay. Thank you.
Just a very quick point in terms of sort of sharing the plan with residents. Certainly what I would want to do is Alice and I, we have a Facebook page. I would share all of this as I did with the local area plan and everything else. And I think as councillors, if we have social media mechanisms, then we can actually play a big part.
We'd be very grateful. That'd be really helpful in terms of cascading the message. So yes, absolutely fine.
I was just going to say, you know, you asked if the press would be interested. Well, they will if it's contentious, if there's something, or different, or significantly different. So, you know, the large number of trees that we intend to plant, maybe, although it's old news now, but if there's something in there that's different, then I think they'll be interested. Mm.
The challenge for Mike, then, isn't it?
make it.
Different, yeah.
Okay, if you're happy to go on to the recommendations.
Yeah.
Is everyone happy to recommend the report for his cabinet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so move on to item 7. So, Scrutiny Commission, pre-decision scrutiny, Cabinet response.
I think this is just an update to keep the Commission informed of Cabinet response to the previous Scrutiny Commission presentation at the last meeting.
Yeah, I think it's in the minutes now anyway, just recognising.
Noted.
Yeah. Item 9, progress with panel work. Report the head of strategic support to review the progress of the scrutiny panels and agree the detail of the scoping document for the parking enforcement and enhancement panel.
Yeah, Chair, so this is your opportunity to again keep up to speed with the work panels, and as you just said, Chair, you are being asked to agree the scoping document for parking enforcement and enhancement panel.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just comment on the scoping document?
Yeah.
Parking enforcement enhancement. It's is at the start, consideration of whether the council needs to apply to the police and the county council for delegated powers. Shouldn't one of the first things that have been done is to look at what the process actually is and whether it can be done or not, or whether it's, you know, going to take years and years or not. I thought that should have been one of the first things that they looked at as well, what the legal process is, yeah, what's involved.
We can suggest that that gets added in.
Thank you.
We have delegation powers from the County Council already for, let me get this right, on street, some on street enforcement activity. So my understanding is it is certainly possible from the county, but we'd have to check about the police powers.
Well, they're both possible. I can say that as the person that put this forward.
Of course, yeah.
They're both entirely possible. The question that I think in the first instance, when the first councils got these powers, it took 3 or 4 years. But that's quite a while ago.
Mm.
And I think these powers have accelerated since. There are many more councils have now taken on these powers, especially from the police.
Well, they're so stretched, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I mean, the police used to be responsible for parking enforcement, but then there was a change at government level and it got passed down to county councils. So what happens at the moment regarding Leicestershire County Council, they're responsible and they contract out all of the district councils. And there's a figure agreed of how much Charlwood pays the county council to enforce here. The difficulty is it's like set in stone, and if you change what the parking wardens, as I still call them, do, then it's an increase in money and the contract has to be negotiated, etc., etc., right? So we could increase what we do by improving on the contract. It would cost us more, but I think what's being asked, or what the panel here is looking at, is actually that we actually get the powers themselves. So I'm not sure how you do that. There must be a legal process, or can we not do it? I just think that needs to be checked out first.
There's two things. I mean, there's potentially impending legislation, which might make all this unnecessary. So I think that's due in the next 3 or 4 months, potentially. But that's one way, so it might just happen anyway. And then the other way is of course to agree it by negotiation with the police and the county.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think they would rather probably want to keep hold of them. So the argument for us would be to explain why we think it would be a better idea. Now, I think they'd want to keep hold of it. I'm not sure the police want to keep hold of it. I think the county council want to keep hold of it. But although some things are delegated, it's an opportunity for us. I think we'd have to take in a certain amount of revenue in order to pay for the enforcement officers that will be necessary to deliver this thing.
It's good now.
But I think people are crying out for it all over the
I do agree. Certainly in my ward, parking, nuisance parking is a particular problem.
Mm. What the panel need to look at then is the legality of powers changing hands, and also what's involved regarding negotiation.
The process of transfer.
The process of transfer.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's those two things.
Just slightly reworded.
Yeah.
I think, Chair, looking at the scoping document, that may be best included in the what will be included.
Yeah.
So if you added in
because that's quite brief, isn't it?
Legality, I'm thinking on the negotiation front, what probably talk about is finance and resources. So if we take something on, in our current financial situation, it's going to be very difficult for us as Borough Council if that's cost additive.
What's it going to cost us, and actually what might we get in return? What would we have to get in return to cover our costs?
There's the implications of doing it.
Yeah. So it might be, Chair, adding in a sentence in the what be included box to say, to include, the legislative side of it, the legality.
Legalities.
financing and resourcing implications.
Yeah. That's quite a lot for an informal panel, though. I mean, this is an informal panel.
But you're doing all this work without knowing whether it can happen or not.
I don't dispute the requirement for it. I'm just wondering.
Do we need to review whether it needs additional support? Because we have that option if it's required.
I think we have delayed some of the panels.
Yeah, we weren't up to four anyway.
But if, as Councillor Bain says, legislation may come through in the next 3 or 4 months that makes this done and void.
Yeah, do you think it's worth finding out how likely that is?
It is. So, yeah. Is there a date then for this to start? We have a date, haven't we?
It's January.
Right, so that'd be a little early. Maybe we should wait for February.
This legislation, if it comes through, is down the line. It's
was
not,
that in the Queen's speech?
No, I don't think it was.
Okay.
I can have a look at this.
Yeah, let's just double check that. If it looks like that is coming very, very soon, then it kind of makes this work a bit irrelevant. But obviously if that isn't, then there is an issue that needs resolving now.
So. It wouldn't make it irrelevant. It would, because it would then be upon us to implement the legislation. So I don't think it would ever make it irrelevant.
It might just change the nature.
But it would change the nature.
Okay. So if we just get that added into the scoping document, then the legality and the financing and resources.
And the transfer of powers. The process of transfer.
And then we see what happens.
And now are we wanting to change this from an informal to a formal?
Well, let's have a look at that law.
Okay.
And then decide.
Okay, so do we want to bring the scoping document back to our next scrutiny commission meeting with a bit more of an update? Does that feel comfortable?
So probably
it's
at the end of the month.
Yeah.
The next meeting of the scrutiny commission, Sally?
I think it's... Is it the 10th, I think, of February?
So it's not too far away.
Yeah, happy to do that.
Yeah.
Agreed. and then commerciality one, you're down the head with, aren't you?
Yeah.
Waste management one is still on the go. I think with that one, I think we will potentially take a little bit longer because there's quite a lot to look into. And in our last meeting, people were keen to make sure that we got into all the detail of it and that we don't, because it's such a big topic and that it's so important for us, it's something that we don't want to just skim over. So I think we will take a little bit longer on that one, Sally, than the original timescale. But I think it'd be worth it in the results in the end.
Yeah.
I think that's it on the other ones. Obviously, then the other one we've got is budget, isn't it? Happy to move on to budget scrutiny panel.
Yeah.
Over to you, Jeff.
You've got the paper. It's item 10 on the agenda, so you have the paper in the report. I won't add too much more to the report and the introduction that we've written and presented. I think it sets the case. We are in slightly changing times. I was happy to try to field any questions people might have, but I was happy to stand behind what the panel wrote and agreed as the forward, the report, and some of the other bits and pieces. We are in changing times. There is no doubt about that. I think we have probably the next 3-year window to adapt to those changing times, and I think we've tried to indicate some of the key issues in the report. So I'm happy to take any questions where people might have them.
Yeah. Questions? Councillor Draycott?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just one question. When I was going through all the paperwork, I was a little surprised that the budget panel didn't start or relook at the recommendations from the previous budget panel. which myself and Councillor Parsons sat on, along with other members, because one of the big things that we recommended was that the culture of using underspends as savings would finish, and a sum of, I think it was 300,000, was set for each department, and that that would be under review, and that we would have reports during the year of what the actual savings were, but that's never materialised, and I'm a bit surprised that that wasn't looked at by the budget panel. I just wonder if Councillor Parsons has got any information on that.
I can. We at the meeting we had two weeks ago,
yeah.
we worked through last year's recommendations,
right.
As a panel, and we looked at those that we thought had been achieved, those that hadn't. The underspend, it was the first time we'd actually budgeted underspend last year, as I'm aware, and I think that was raised. I think that's not going to happen going forward, as in there's budgeted underspend that we're relying on. There are savings to be found, and last year was the first time that we'd gone down that route, as far as I'm aware, and hence it was noted. There is a lot less scope for underspend at this point in time. It's about savings in certain budgets, I think.
But conscious savings rather than
We can't be trying to balance the budget on underspend, and I think that was a very unique point last year that we raised. And we raised that, as you know, on the panel, and that was the first time that that had ever been done. And I think we've gone back to a more normal process of trying to identify savings. I'm happy for other panel members to comment, but we did review all of the actions from the previous year and worked through those with officers in relation to where we were this year, and the sense was progress has been made. And perhaps the there was the one that I remember you said, the one that we were most concerned about that hadn't, where we made sure progress had been made.
I can't recall.
There was just one from last year's recommendations. But I think we're cognizant of it. I think the panel took awareness of it with officers, and that's now changed.
So were you satisfied then that we've gone, that the decision or the recommendation that was agreed in the budget council meeting to do away with underspends being used as savings, rather than having identified savings during the year, and that they would become part of various financial reports during the year, has never happened. So you're okay with that? So we've gone back to the culture where departments use underspends, and it's only as members we kind of find out that X, Y, and Z hasn't happened because it's been used as an underspend. So you're happy now that we've gone back to that old way of doing it, and it's never happened what the budget panel last year recommended?
I'm not quite sure. I'm missing a trick, Mr. Councillor Draper. I'm not quite sure what you're alluding to in terms of that. The issue, as I understood from last year, was that we underspend was being used to balance the budget. A budget was written last year where underspend was taken into account to balance the budget.
There'd been a culture over many years of departments using underspends to balance budgets. What the budget panel wanted was that to change, and that savings were identified instead, so that you had more open and transparency, and members knew.
This is what
I think that's what's happened. I'm confident that's the situation.
I've not seen any identified savings during the last 12 months.
No, but this is what the panel asked for. Whether it's what we'll get is another matter. But we did conclude that process. Maybe there should have been a line in here, I don't know. We did conclude that process to say that any savings would be consciously achieved rather than unconsciously achieved in a sort of underspend way. So that was that, and that review of the previous year, we had a reasonable discussion about. So I don't think the officers left the meeting thinking they could carry on with the underspend approach, which is what you were intimating. Yeah. I don't think they're left with that idea.
No.
But it's up to us as scrutineers to make sure that they stick to that.
I think there are savings identified going forward that we now need to monitor very closely that they're achieved. So, for example, the savings this year, when we received the last figures, we were something like halfway through the year and only 25%, these aren't real figures, I don't know, but we're only 25% through having identified the savings. Those issues have been raised seriously, that we're not comfortable with those levels. It's a bit like the capital spend. We raised the fact that we were 7 months into the year and only 10% of capital, at least for what the numbers were. And we've raised those issues and tried to make progress on those issues with officers.
Okay. What we also highlighted, which I think is because it's a good point this that you raised, what we also realised was that if the council wants to generate commercial income, but it's only got £10 million to put into that, then it might only generate 700,000, but the shortfall is 3 million, in which case there's 2.3 million quid's worth of savings to achieve. Yes. So we all this was discussed actually in the meeting. Now, of course, I'm surmising. I've no idea what the council what the income will actually be because there's no commercialisation plan being placed in front of us yet. So it's difficult to see what the mix will be between savings and commercial income generation. So that's one of the other things that we should scrutinise carefully over the next 12 months.
Anyone else got any comments or questions?
Just to say thank you to the panel for all the work and officers as well as members.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very thorough report.
Yeah.
And well scrutinised. So thank you. I think we're all happy for that to go through to Cabinet. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so if we move on to the scrutiny work programme, item 11.
So this is the current scrutiny work programme for the Directorate Scrutiny Committee's chair. Now, keeping track of what members have said this evening, I think you suggested that you may potentially want the Housing Planning Regeneration and Regulatory Services Scrutiny Committee. To, if possible, look at the probably additional selective licensing schemes.
Yeah.
So looking at their meetings, potentially they have a very light July meeting and the timing for that may work quite well with a 12-week consultation period. So hopefully by July the consultation will have finished. You'll know what the consultation responses are. So if you wish to, you tell you the Commission may wish to ask HPRRS to add an item to their July agenda for that date?
Yes, please.
I think if the documents are ready, it's just part of a process so that this group doesn't just see that report for what is a fairly significant change to the council and our work. We don't just see it with 10 days notice and 3 days before the cabinet meeting when we meet. And I think that it's in their area and their eyes on it, and their expertise and experience in that committee would be useful if the process allows for it. I'm slightly nervous that the report then gets produced late, it's not ready, it's not in the July meeting, and then there's a big decision to be made that it all kicks back. So that has to drive the production of the final paper that's going to come to people. And that may not be in those lead members and lead officers' time frame. So I think there's a wider discussion that needs to take place, that someone just needs to schedule a process that we can put it through another more specialised scrutiny committee before it arrives here for final. You know, at the end of the day, this is pre-decision. So we're the final backstop 3 days before cabinet, and that's not, in my view, the opportunity to be a good critical friend to that paper for something we've worked on for 5, 6, or 7 years now as a council. So, but it then becomes incumbent upon officers and the process to meet that timetable to make a July meeting. And what I wouldn't want to happen is the week before it gets pulled or it doesn't appear, and now the whole thing is, but the cabinet have got to pass it and we're back in the same boat. we're doing the critical friend piece on 3 days' notice of the meeting, and I'd be very uncomfortable doing that on such a major piece of work that a lot of people have worked hard to get through.
Chair, we can add, if the Commission wishes us to, can add it to the July agenda.
Can I just interrupt, because on the later report, you've got proposal private sector licensing scheme is due to come to Cabinet on the 2nd of July. So if the date of the housing, right, unless it's the 1st of July, it's not going to work out. So it had to come in.
We haven't shown it in the way yet.
I was going to say it's worth checking if how accurate that date is.
It's a process. Yeah. You need to line up a process. Yeah. And Cabinet needs to agree it. The officers who've got the work to do to get that paper ready, and the chair of HPR, RS, needs to agree it, and everyone that we, our request is please,
yeah,
we'd like a process,
so process
that arrives with us, at least yeah. Somebody's been the critical friend, we can now be the final piece of pre-decision scrutiny.
Councillor Draycott, what page are you on?
Must be back here. It's the forthcoming key decisions.
The page number.
Page 4. Private sector housing licensing scheme update, Cabinet 2nd of July 2020. And I take a different view. I think that's our job to pre-scrutinise Cabinet reports. And I think that's my view, that it should come here. If we start passing work on to others and then it comes here, we're just repeating the exercise. So I see no problem with it coming here in time for that Cabinet meeting.
I think the backstop, Chair, would be that depending on the date it actually does go to Cabinet, I'm not going to say 2nd of July isn't going to happen. I think it's optimistic.
Yeah.
That if there is time for it to go to HPRRS and at their July meeting, it goes. Otherwise, it comes here.
Well, that could be the backstop. If it gets delayed for any reason, and we've still got the option, it can go to housing scrutiny. Yeah. Otherwise, it comes then here to us if there's no alternative. If we leave it like that, then it gets a fair look at, doesn't it?
The other one, Chair, based on your discussions a few minutes ago about from the budget scrutiny panel and the savings and commercial income targets and needing to have that scrutinised, I wondered if you wanted to add something to the corporate services scrutiny committee so they get something regularly back on that during the year.
What do we think? We've got panels on that, haven't we? How's that going to fit?
I think the panels are looking at options, Chair. I think what you were, I sound to be corrected, I think what you were talking about a few minutes ago was getting regular monitoring reports as to how, once these are up and running, how they're actually delivering against the required targets.
Mm, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good idea. The question is,
it's going to be way down the line, I think, yeah, but we definitely need to be measuring it.
Well, looking at their. You could do it quarterly, Chair. You could say after 6 months. So they have a July meeting and they have a September meeting. So you may ask for an initial report to their September meeting on progress to date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yes, please.
Otherwise, you're into December, then, and you're nearly three quarters of the way through the year.
Yeah.
Christmas.
I think they might have certainly allocated that money and bought certain amounts of commercial property, so we'll have some idea, because that's the direction of travel.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a question of whether that should be the only game in town.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the panel essentially is going to help with, isn't it?
Well, that's what we'll say. Yeah. That's what will happen, it's another matter.
It'll be a new panel, won't it? Or a new body?
Was the commercialisation finished, is it?
No, it finishes in April.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And the report goes to council coming up, agreeing the money.
Yeah.
So it could be starting pretty quick, won't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's, so it seems to me that they'll spend the money, maybe they'll spend a chunk of the money at that point. I mean, it would be useful to see what they've bought.
That's what I was just going to say. I was going to say, even if we can't see the, measure the income from it, at least we'll have an update as to actually what we've done with the money, what we've invested it in, and then what we expect the outturn to be. Because at the moment, we've got no picture of that, have we?
No.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Can't really be any changes on the work programme from the committees because they've not had any meetings since our last one, have they? There's no changes from there. So we should be all right to move on to scrutiny commission work programme and look at our own then. Page 25 for anyone's copies.
That's where we've got the tracker chair.
Yeah, so we want to bring the scrutiny tracker that you've got that you've prepared and are working with,
yeah.
Bring that in quarterly and just for a review.
Yeah.
You can get that added on.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone got any other requests for our own work programme?
Mm-hmm.
Or any amendments?
No?
No.
And then we've got key decisions, haven't we? Anything new on there that we've not said that we want to see yet?
So do we need to call in the licensing so it's on record that we have an interest as well as the housing scrutiny?
Yeah,
looking at Adrian.
But the, Chair, the idea when we introduced the new scrutiny structure was that potentially if one of the directorate-based scrutiny committees had looked at something during the policy development stage, you may wish to rely on the work there, so you don't have to, but the idea was to prevent that duplication.
But we could, but near the time,
so
we
may,
could say no.
You may wish to say if HPRRS have looked at it, you might not need to, but if they haven't, you would then want to look at it.
We can review that at the time, can't we?
Yes.
I think that with the document so important, I think that we would want to see it, but we can obviously make that decision nearer the time.
Yeah.
Point in the direction of the new item if you need any detail about it. I can try. You said there was a new item?
Oh, just to add on the scrutiny tracker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Bring that to the meeting quarterly.
The cabinet key decision.
No, right? Sorry.
That's what it is.
No.
Okay.
Are we done?
Dead on each
part.
Not too bad, not too bad.
Considering.
Yeah, we got through a lot, so that's good. Thanks everyone.
Thank you.